has been good to be in revival. And I echo what Brother Jason said this evening, that this is the last scheduled night for revival. But I'd like to serve notice on Chelsea, Oklahoma. I'd like to tell everybody in the community around. I can't remember what county this is. Is it Chickasaw County? Rogers County. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor's wife. Tell everybody in Rogers County that Calvary Lighthouse Church is in revival. Well, who they got preaching? Holy Ghost is on the move. It's going to get so good in here before camp meeting. I ain't even in my notes tonight. But it's going to get so good in here before camp meeting. God is going to bring you into a state of revival that's going to carry you through. It's going to be in difficult times. You've been some low places, some valley places. There's going to be some mountaintops ahead for Calvary Lighthouse Church. Amen. You mark my words. God's going to take you up and bring you out. And I believe that there's great things in store. So plug in, stay connected. Here I am pastoring. Stay in that place of ministry that God has called you to. Wait on the Lord and He shall renew your strength. Oh, I feel Him tonight. I want to preach to you, and I do believe this is a message that the Lord has given me. But I want to encourage you tonight and let you know that you are right on the precipice, right on the edge of a move of God, a great outpouring of His Spirit. It's coming, and God's going to move in a special way. So be encouraged tonight. Thank you so much for your giving, and certainly enjoyed the food. Yesterday, ate like a king. Today, I ate like a potentate. And tomorrow will be fast food on the way home. Appreciate the steak, and probably the finest steak around. Brother Lucas served us yesterday, and then today, Brother Jason prepared a wonderful meal for us. Sister Sarah, we give honor and appreciation for that. Thank you so much for your giving. And again, we want the Lord to bless you. And we're going to put this that you have given to work in God's kingdom. Pray for us that God will help us and the doors will open and that ministry will continue through our lives. Song of Solomon chapter 2. And while you're turning there, Song of Solomon chapter 2. We will be headed out tomorrow, and then sometime next week I'll be in Pennsylvania for the graduation. We just thank God for Brother Kennard and from Free Gospel Bible Institute. He and I talk about the college sometimes, and going up there, Brother Kennard, we're going to give you honor and remember that as we go up there, and then as we get back from Pennsylvania, we'll be starting revival at Central Assembly of God Church in Cedar Rapids. So we want the Lord's help. And I feel like I'm among family tonight. And so, you know, sometimes you'll ask your friends for stuff, Sister Addison, and you hope they'll come through for you. Amen. But when you talk to your family, you say, hey, don't forget this. Hey, remember this. So if you think of us in the next week or two, pray for us. It's a lot of miles, it's a lot of travel, and it's a lot of responsibility. But we know with the Lord's help, we can overcome. Amen. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let's look to God's word together. Your Bible reads, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons of the wood. Among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. You know what that banqueting house is? That's the house of God. That's the place where God dwells. Verse 5, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. And verse 6 says, his left hand is under my head, and with his right hand he doth embrace me. Praise God. Song of Solomon 2, we're taking our text from verse 1, where the Bible says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Let's pray over this service one more time together and ask God to speak to us as we've come to His Word now. Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for what You're doing and how You're moving. And Lord, as we've broken this bread of life, as we've opened this cistern of water, we pray it will be that for those that are thirsty. That it will be more than enough for those that are hungry. God, I pray that You would move in power tonight touch the hearts of your people and bless them, encourage them, strengthen this church, I pray. And Father, let the Holy Ghost flow through this house from the front to the back, from side to side. Make it real to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to step in fellowship with you. Help us to walk, Lord, in a place of relationship with you tonight. Pull us up close, Lord, where your word says, draw nigh to God, and you will draw nigh unto us. And we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. God's people said amen. As you see it, turn and tell somebody, I'm going to help the preacher preach. Thank you. Praise God. Ecuador. Angelica was her name, and she was wandering through the market square looking for the one that she loved. She stopped a merchant and asked, "Where is he? Where is my love?" The merchant said, "I do not know. Looking at you, I suggest that you look for the people with the roses." Now, as I read this and looked at this, Angelica was looking for Andy. And I believe there's a church that's looking for Christ. And as we look to the text here tonight, I want to preach on this thought, for the love of a rose. For the love of a rose. Would you say that with me? For the love of a rose. Now, most everybody, when they see a rose, will look at that and awe over it and talk over it and think over it and maybe share it with someone that's close to them. You may even draw near and take in the fragrance of that rose. And I want you to know tonight that Jesus, in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 1, is that rose of Sharon. If you leave this place tonight, you don't hear anything else a preacher said. You've got to know that he is the rose that I am talking about. One writer said, Vance Havner said, the rose arose on resurrection day. Literally, he was crushed, he was bruised, he was placed and buried into that ground, into that grave. But on the third day, he came back to life. Sister Mindy likes to plant roses and flowers and bushes and all of these things. And sometimes when she plants them, Sister Anna, it goes down into that dirt and that little root, that little stem is pretty hideous looking. Might have been clipped, might have some thorns on it. It might be kind of wilted and kind of brown. And probably if we looked at it, we would frown and say, you know, what use is that? And what beauty could come from that? But my brothers and sisters, if you give it some time, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And he said, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God is doing something in you and I. Amen. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes that he makes all things beautiful in his time. Say amen. Now, as we look to God's word, sometimes there's a time to mourn. There's a time to die. There's a time for us to weep and a time for us to rejoice. A time for us to refrain from rejoicing. And so many of these things in our word, in our scripture that we read tonight in God's word, we begin to understand that the rose is indeed a person. It is a person. And that person is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's an allegorical picture of a man in love with a woman. It's also a picture of a Savior, of a Christ in love with his church. And as you read this and as you study this, you begin to apply the God's word to your heart and to your life, and you realize just how special that your Savior is to you. Can you say amen? Something about a rose that evokes the feelings of romance. Why is it Brother Tim is sitting there tonight with his arm around a young lady? When several months and weeks and even years ago, I saw Brother Tim and he was sitting over here all alone. Forgive me if I'm too personal tonight, but Brother Lucas, what is it that evokes those feelings of affection and commitment? How many knows love is not just a feeling? Love is a commitment that carries a husband and a wife and a relationship through the hard times and the difficult times. When a man will fix food and prepare a meal when his wife is not feeling well. What is it that causes a woman to look at a man who is working so hard and laboring and providing for that home, and then she would take time to prepare his lunch and maybe leave a little note, Sister Maddie, in that lunch? What is it? There's something about this love relationship, this little fellowship thing we got going on with Jesus. Amen. I know the world would like to have us. I know the world would like to flirt with us, Pastor. I know the world would like to have our attention tonight. But you and me, why is it that we're here? I want you to know why we're here. Sister Sarah said it from the first three words. Amen. That she got said when she got up here. She said, it's love. It's my Savior's love. Amen. There's something that draws me, that deals with me, that pulls on me, and it's love. How do we live for Him in the hard times? Because we love Him. What is it that makes a couple stand at the altar and give vows and then live out those vows as long as your pastors have? What is it that causes a pastor to stand before a church and accept the responsibility to lead and guide that church and lead and guide that church from one location to the next through the passage of time, through the ins and outs and ups and downs? It's love, Pastor, isn't it? God puts it in our heart for the people, and we start to feel that love and compassion toward them that Jesus feels toward us. What are you saying, preacher? Yeah, I thought you was talking about flowers. Yeah, I'm talking about a rose. Amen. But before you just write me off and say all he did was talk about flowers, couldn't he have got a better message? Let me remind you tonight, it's all about Jesus. He's the Christ. He's the Savior. He's the lily of the valley, and he's the rose of Sharon. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, look upon him, for in him we find the fragrance of life. Flowers mentioned in the Bible, the lily, the rose. The almond had blossoms and flowers. In fact, it was so important, Brother Kenner, do you remember Tabernacle? Where the priest and those who were called upon to carry the ark of God and fashion all of the furniture of God's house. Sometimes there was inscribed upon the ornate design of the furniture, little almonds, little flower buds. And we pass over that in the Bible and we don't think about it. Amen. It was Aaron's rod that was inside of the ark of the covenant, not in my notes. Amen. But here we see the rod of God that is budding, that is bringing forth a flower, that is speaking to mankind of life and a freshness and a newness, even out of the law. You see God reaching in love. I said, even in the time where you see God putting demands and commands upon his people, it was all about a fellowship. It was all about a relationship. Amen. Don't leave this house thinking any other thing but that he loves me. He loves me, and I love him. Amen. For the love of a rose. The hyssop had a beautiful purple flower. David, the psalmist, would take the pen and write on the page, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. How is it that God would take that hyssop and cause them to dip it into blood, the ruby red blood of an innocent lamb, and strike it upon the doorpost of the house, and the death angel would pass by? Oh, there's such a significance to these flowers in the scripture. The pomegranate and the daffodil and the fig tree. Oh, the special things that we can read about. And I don't have time for all of it tonight. But this fig tree, Jesus was hungry. And you know what the scripture said in the text, in the Gospels, where he went and he was hungry and he was looking for a blossom, for a fruit, if you will, on that fig tree. And because he found no fruit, Brother Lucas Sanders, and he found no blossom growing thereon, he cursed that fig tree. Henceforth, nothing shall grow from here after. And there you find the fig tree withered away. And can I tell you, there's churches. I'm not preaching down the street. I'm not preaching county over. I'm preaching right here tonight. Brother Robert, there's churches that have started out real good and then withered away. I am the vine. You are the branches. I want to stay connected to Him tonight. And roses are so beautiful because as they begin to grow together on the vine, many times one bud, two buds, three buds. Sister Mindy, I want you to get up and pray for this lady right here. She's having a difficulty right now. A couple of you ladies, just pray for her. You're not going to bother me while I'm preaching, but just pray over her right now. Would you do that? Praise God. And these buds begin to grow, and you find that the rose now is so very significant. Amen. Whether it be that flower that we speak of with Jesus, or we speak of with the fig tree, or whether it be the willow and the blossoms there. I want somebody to know tonight that Jesus loves you just the way you are. Amen. There are some flowers that are elevated above others, but there are some flowers, amen, that stand out above the rest. And I can tell you, for every daffodil and every dandelion that there is, and for every hyssop and almond flower, there is one flower that stands out above the rest. Somebody slip up a hand with me right now and let's give praise to Jesus. Oh, He loves us tonight in this house. Hallelujah. Father, touch our sister right now. Minister healing virtue to her body. Praise God. Pastor, I hope this is okay. Amen. Father, we ask You to touch her right now. Calm these nerves. Father, strengthen her body, I pray. Minister to her right now in the name of Jesus. Help her, Lord, we pray. Father, be gracious unto her. Be merciful to her right now. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke every attack of Satan. Church, would you stretch your hands this way and pray for this dear lady who's struggling right here in the service tonight. Father, would you minister right now? Help her, Lord Jesus. Give her grace and give her strength, we do pray. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I feel like the Lord's a helping her. Amen. Let's just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your pastors are helping right now. She's going to be okay. We need another blanket maybe to cover her up. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go back to preaching. I hope that's okay. Amen. I hope that's all right, Pastor. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen. But I believe tonight God is working in this service. How many believes that? Amen. God is still here. He's here to help. And whatever we need tonight, praise God, He can give us the grace and the strength that we need. Praise the Lord. These flowers in the Bible speak so much of the spirituality of those that follow after Christ. And then again, Brother Lucas, the olive and that flowering branch, amen, that brings forth that fruit. And from that olive tree, my dear brothers and sisters, flows the anointing oil that comes from God. I'm so glad that in Gethsemane, Jesus stopped and prayed. And among those olive trees, we see the rose of Sharon as he prays. And the scripture said, Brother Charles, that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Oh, it seems that the rose would lose its fragrance through the garden and through the toil of the night. But can I tell you, this flower, even though it was taken and nailed to a cross, even though it was laid in a grave, and even though it was crushed and bruised and broken, the greatest fragrance today of Calvary is that that flower lives on. Amen. It was crushed for our iniquities. He was bruised for our healing. And I I'm glad tonight, even though the petals may have lost their place for just a few days, he rose in triumph. Amen. He said, touch me not. It was so beautiful, Sister Most, when he arose from that grave in perfection and glorified body. And can I tell you today, that rose is still blooming for you and me. I'm glad tonight to know that I am in love with the rose. Amen. There's something about this flower that has touched my heart by faith. The rarest rose is called the Juliet rose. Not only considered to be one of the most rarest flowers in the world, but it is literally the rarest in the world because it took 15 years to breed and perfect. David Austin cultivated this flower in England. Additionally, they say it cost him $4.3 million to breed this rose. Sister Mindy has some of these roses growing out by our house. These David Austin roses. Amen. We're still paying the bill on that. No, I'm teasing. Amen. It was such a rarity. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. And if you look at the text, literally it's as if the rose begins to speak. Did you see what the Bible said? Amen. Can you put it up there, my brother? Song of Solomon chapter 2. I'm going to get in here and preach to you tonight. I hope that's okay. Amen. Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse number 1 of our text. What does your Bible say? The Word of God says, I am the rose of Sharon. Oh, we could shout right now, amen, on the I am statement. I believe, amen, when he said he is, he is. He just was in the Bible days of the Old Testament when they took the pen and he wrote Proverbs, and then he wrote Ecclesiastes, and he wrote Song of Solomon. I know that Solomon made some mistakes in his life. Amen. He loved a whole lot of ladies. I don't know how that worked out for him, but I can tell you when he took the pen and wrote, I am the rose of Sharon, it wasn't about Solomon, but it was about the Savior. Praise God. Oh, have you met him? It's almost as if the rose is talking to us tonight. For the love of the rose. I hope you didn't come to church for something else. Brother Jason started talking about a sort, and I said, boy, that sounds more exciting than a flower. But can I preach to you? There's a rose, Brother Tim. It can't be bought with money. Judas tried. Amen. And at the end of that betrayal, you find a traitor going out and hanging himself because Jesus is worth more than gold or silver. I feel him here tonight. Oh, he can't be bought and he can't be sold. He can't be improved upon and he can't be taken away from. Amen. And just as she wandered that marketplace saying, where is my love? There is a church today full of people looking around and saying, where is Jesus? I hope you feel that way. I said, I hope you're looking for him. The Bible said, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. Unto salvation. I don't know about you, but my beloved is mine and I'm his, and I'm looking for him, Brother Pepper. I said, I'm looking for that one to appear for me because it's for the love of a rose. His left hand is under my head, Brother Jason. His right hand doth embrace me. Praise God. That may be too plain for some of you. Oh, but I want you to know there's a relationship we can have with Jesus. Oh, I felt him hold me in the middle of the night. I said, there's been times where tears ran down my face, Sister Lindsay, and I didn't know who was going to comfort me, and no one knew just truly how I felt, but there was a rose that spoke to me. I said, I heard the word from a little rose that let me know it's not does he love me and he loves me not. It's not does he love me and he loves me not, but it's one continual cry, a voice saying, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. I'll embrace you with my left hand, and my right hand is upon you. Thank God. He said, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. trying to preach to you tonight, church. I realize the enemy's trying to attack our sister. But let's believe God tonight to touch her and help her. Amen. There's enough of God in revival right here in the church tonight for people to leave healed and touched and strengthened. They said in years gone by that different ones, in fact, one who was in charge of gathering rose water in the early times of the Bible would gather this water and they would store it up in these clay vases and they would put it in places where it could be readily available. Why did they take this rose water and why was it so very, very important? Because kings would cleanse themselves with this rose water. Amen. Those who were in the palace, those who were royalty would take up this water and they would be washed in it, and from there they would be cleansed. And wherever they went, Brother Jason, there was a fragrance about them that when they walked through the marketplace and when they stepped out on the seashore and when they made their way across the plain, Brother Isaac, I see you back there in the sound booth. There was something about God's people. They said, oh yeah, that's one of the rose people. They're the people who are privileged to bathe in the rose water, Sister April. Amen. Others would have to bathe in the river. Others would have to wash from a pot. But can I tell you tonight, you and I are royalty. I said the King is our Father. He's the one who has brought us into the kingdom. Amen. So we wash and we are clean. And the world knows there's something different about us. I said there's a fragrance to your faith. As they would wash in this water, it was so very special, and recognized that these people were royalty. I was reading about the world's oldest living rose. They believe, Sister Sarah, that it is literally 1,000 years old. It grows on the wall of the cathedral in Heidelheim, Germany. Its presence has been documented there year after year after year on an old leathern scroll. And they mark the year ever since AD 815. This rose has been growing up near this cathedral. They call it the 1,000-year rose of Heidelheim. And the cathedral is adjacent to St. Michael's Church. And as this rose climbs the wall of the cathedral, they believe it is the oldest living rose in the world. It grows. This rose would grow to be 69 feet high and 9 feet wide. As it grows up of this cathedral, the bush, the plant, and here the leaves and the thorns growing together. Some say it's a wild dog rose. Others said it's been different types of roses. Variations have arisen. The King Louis looked at it and he said it was a different type, that somehow it had changed and varied somehow through the years. But scientists and experts believe that it is the original rose that began to grow in AD 815. Amen. The cathedral was destroyed by Allied bombers in 1945 in the Second World War, but the roots, I like this, but the roots, Brother Tate, of the rose survived the war and blossomed again among the ruins. Oh, I'm glad tonight for revival that brings blossom again and brings the roots to life again. According to the legend, as long as the rose bush flourishes, Germany will prosper. Can I tell you tonight, the rose is still blooming for the church. Amen. You may have cut him down and buried him in a grave, but 3 days later he came back to life, and he's blooming brighter and stronger and more beautiful than ever. Somebody shout amen. I want the world to see that rose blooming in the garden of my heart. I know some preach Jesus is up in heaven and he's at the right hand of the Father, and rightly so. Brother Jason Pepper, Jesus not only lives in heaven, Jesus lives in my heart. I said, there's a rose living inside of me. And the ruby red blood of Jesus Christ, Brother Robert, that has washed away my sins, reminds me every time I open the door of my heart and take a look inside. Yeah, I'm in love with the rose. There's a little romance going on, a little relationship between me and him. It's okay if you don't talk to me, amen, because I get to talk to him. It's okay if others don't walk with me, because he walks with me. He's in the garden with me, and he tells me that I am his own. I'm so glad that the rose has blossomed again in my life. Amen. He'll bloom for you in salvation. But that's not the end. I say, let him bloom again. That's what revival does. And Sister Mindy has told me that you can take a flower that is nearly dead, and you can treat that flower in such a way that you can bring it back to life. Just today, I found out you could take a penny and drop it down in a vase full of flowers, and that will help sustain those flowers for a longer period of time. I dropped my 2 cents in there, wouldn't you? I'm trying to preach good to you on this last night of revival. And I realize there's been some things happening in this service, but I'd like for you to take a look with me at the rose that was risen, the rose that is our Savior, the rose that is our Christ, the rose that says, not only am I the lily in your valley, but I'll be the rose on the mountaintop. If you look at the rose of Sharon, literally, it did not grow in any of the low places, but rather everybody knows that the rose grows. I like the way that sounds. Everybody knows that the best roses grow on the mountaintop. And Brother Lucas, if you find the rose of Sharon, you're going to find it on the mountaintop of your life. I'd like to hit the peaks for you right here tonight. Amen. Salvation, water baptism, sanctification, filled with the Holy Ghost, call to ministry. Amen. Hit the high peaks and let you know there's a rose that's still blooming tonight. Woo! Amen. Some folks say, you know what? Jesus has left me. Jesus' presence ain't with me. I can't feel him like I used to. Amen. Take him back to that old song that they sing. Sometimes the only time they ever sing it's at a funeral. Something died. And he walks with me. And he talks. And every time Brother Pepper gets the microphone, he's a-telling you about his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How the Lord's been speaking to him. How the Lord, it ain't no coincidence. Why is that, Sister April? Because Monday morning, pastor's walking with you. Tuesday morning, pastor's walking. I'm the evangelist. I'm here to validate your pastor. Amen. That's why I came. Amen. He's not just paying me to do it. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me to tell you tonight. Amen. Somebody's been walking with the Lord. And there's a fragrance that just hangs in this place. I said it just hovers in this place. And every time I ever come in, I start to feel him again. And it's almost like I can sense the presence of a rose. When the rose is closed, it shows that there's still hope beyond what can be seen. Brother Rick, for some of us tonight, the rosebud is all closed up. But with a little light from his love, a little nourishment of water, a little tender care and attention, wouldn't you know that rose begins to open. And I'm going to tell you, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. Keep on, church. Keep on seeking the Lord. Keep on praying and believing and pushing toward revival. And that rose is going to open and begin to blossom. What are you saying, preacher? You just talking about a flower tonight? No, I'm talking about your relationship with the Lord. I'm talking about the fellowship you have with your Savior. I'm talking about just you and him. Amen. Don't worry about them. Get your eyes on him and realize he's the lover of your soul. Amen. He died to provide eternal life for you. And He's more in love with you than you are with Him. I want that rose to open for somebody in revival tonight. Because there's hope. What beyond can be seen? There's still hope tonight. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying things are going to open up again. For every heart that's closed. Amen. Why do we close our heart? Because we've been hurt. Because there's been hate. You don't go buy roses and give them to somebody you hate. You're mad at her. You don't like what she did and what she said. You're not going to go to the store and buy a bouquet of 12. And tell her everything's okay with this bouquet. And we fight it out and we war it out and we fuss. None of you, not anybody here. Just everybody else. And me. And much is the relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we've been too far away from Him. When we've been walking and flirting with the world. Can I preach a little holiness here tonight? When that we've been stepping in paths that are not straight for our feet. And we're straying toward the broad road. But we need to be on the straight and narrow. Brother Matt, you know what's going to bring us back? The fragrance of the rose. I found Him. He's over here on the straight and narrow. For straight is a gate, and narrow is a way that leads unto life eternal. Let me take it a step farther. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. Look around. If you can't find the rose, look for the fragrance. Amen. Because He wants you back. Find that relationship with Him again. And the fragrance of the fellowship will come to you again by faith. Reach for the rose tonight. I want to reach for the rose. Can I tell somebody? You're saying it's never going to open up again. Why is it that women cry when you give them flowers? Talk to somebody. Brother Robert, would you come up here? Now this sweaty, nasty parking lot is a rose. Brother Robert, I can't. Singing it down on Sunday mornings. Keep doing what God's called you to do. Keep working hard in your business. And God sees all the sheetrock you hung in this church. Man, I feel the Lord tonight. I said, when God walks in here and His presence fills this place, He said, don't forget about Robert, because Robert's been faithful and Robert's worked and served. And Robert's been there when he's been called on. And Robert's going to walk in a fresh anointing. I believe that, Brother Robert. God's got greater and bigger and better things for you. And you're saying tonight, what does it matter about this rose? Can I tell you, it matters. Amen. When it's handed to you, what are you going to do with it? If I were to take this little rose here tonight, hand it. I could hand some of you this rose. You see, in the church sometimes we got the attitude, you know, I want rose and I got the chest. I've worked for the Lord, I've labored, I've been. But
I'm talking about a relationship that God wants with you. He passes by your pew and the presence of God is moving in this service.
Some loving you more than they've ever loved you, because love covers a multitude. Love steps in. Love does not fail. This ain't in my notes. Love does not boast. Love is not easily angered, but love steps in when everything walks out. Sister Lindsay, love, his banner over you at this time in your life is love. I said he loves you, and love has a way of healing, and love has a way of helping, and love has a way of filling all the gaps and making everything all right. What are you saying, preacher? Why'd you slow down and talk to us? Because I want you to know, at any moment in this revival, you can reach for the rose and he'll be right there. He's just a mention away of his name. Just call on his name and reach your hand toward him, and you'll feel his presence, and you'll know his touch. Praise God. You're not going to cry forever. You're going to laugh again. There's going to be something bloom in your life again. One preacher said, when you see that blossom, get ready, because God's about to do something awesome. Some of you, all you see is the dead twigs and the old broken stems of all the things of last year. And camp meeting was good last year, but I'm in a current situation, Lord. Can't you see my little condition that I'm in? Can't you see my little predicament? And he's saying, reach for the rose. Reach for the fellowship. Reach for that relationship that you and me have. Amen. Because you can walk anywhere if you've got a rose. I said, you can walk through hell if you've got a rose. God's given the church something to hold on to. A world can see a bouquet in her hand that's blooming. And God says, it's love in that rose. First the blossom, Brother Jason. Then the bloom. I've studied this, Sister Mindy. I don't have a green thumb like you do. To bud, to blossom, then to bloom. Say it with me. To bud. To bud. Hang on. Hold on now. Started budding one time in Brother Tim's life. The lady caught his eye. It's a bud there. Then all of a sudden, maybe a little blossom. Why are they sitting in church holding hands tonight? That's right. It wasn't just a bud and a blossom. But then there was a bloom. I wish y'all had roses for your decoration. This rose, this flower, didn't just appear in the middle of the night, but it started with blue. Heaven help the church if we expect new converts, can a pastor preach just a moment, to go straight to blossom awesome when they've never finished their bud. I'm not talking about Bud Budweiser. I'm talking about the bud that comes when Christ starts knocking on the door of their heart. And he says, if any man will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him. Is this okay, Pastor? And fellowship with him, and he with me, Sister Anna. Oh, I believe tonight it all started with a little bud in our heart. Brother Jason Pepper, 5, 6, 7 years old in Sunday school. Don't you discount these kids that got their little microphone stands on Sunday morning standing down here. They may not be a bloom just yet. Amen. But there's a bud that is fixing to blossom. Heaven help the church tonight. Amen. To believe in people and stop expecting them to bloom before they blossom. We're not just talking about petals. We're talking about people. People grow. People stunt their growth. I hope you're praying with me about how to finish this message. Because here's where I am tonight. Sometimes a church can stunt the growth
by expecting a bud to blossom and bloom before its time. This may be elementary for some of you, I don't know. To me, it's really speaking to my heart, so just pardon me. And they come into our church, Pastor, and they're men, and their hair is so long. And they're unkempt, and they're not dressed like they should be. And they're smoking, and they're drinking, and they're chewing, and they're running with those that do, and doing drugs. But there's a little bud that's starting to come on into heaven. Help the church. Amen. That looks at them and says, you're not awesome because you didn't blossom. Amen. And so we kick them out. And heaven help me. Brother Barney Fife would say we nip it in the bud. That's exactly what we do sometimes as a church. A little humor to get you home. Amen. But hear the greater meaning behind it here. And understand that God does not want us to cut them off. But He wants them to grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And realize He's building a church that's going to bud. And then give way to a blossom. And then go into full bloom. Oh, thank God for all the super saints that sit on church pews that are always in full bloom. Because sometimes when I hit the altar and God says, hey bud, hey, bud. Good newsflash for you guys. We're not awesome. I read, is this okay, Pastor? You set me down if I get too wild. I'm feeling a whole lot of liberty tonight. Amen. And sometimes, sometimes we'll sit down and we'll lean back and we'll say, you know what? I'm just waiting, amen, for the bloom to come. I'm just waiting for the bloom to come. I'm just waiting for the bloom. You're looking good, brother. And they pass us by and they pat us on the back. And they tell us, you're looking good, brother. And we're just a bud. We're not quite in the blossom state yet. But you know what brings the blossom? Revival brings the blossom. Revival is just like pouring Miracle-Grow on an old 50-cent rose bush. And before you know it, it starts to grow. I believe God's sending revival. And some people who started this week in bud are going to start to blossom and be in full bloom. Say amen. There's some people, one lady in particular, I'll not call her name, but she was up leading worship the other night. What I saw in a bud, it can't be, it's just come into full bloom. I'm moving on. The bloom infers that the flower is at its fullest, the brightest stage. Color, form, beauty, maturity. Thank God for our elder saints here. Amen. This dear sister on the back that I've been preaching to, she's been waving her arms. And she came to Sunday night church. Brother Kennard was here. Thank God for our older saints. Young folks, you want to be successful in church? You get up next to one of them older saints and say, how'd you make it this far? How'd you get this far in your Christian walk with Jesus? And listen to some old person tell you about their relationship with Jesus. Just give it 5 minutes and see if it won't impact your life. I'm so glad for saints that are in full bloom. Amen. But there's some young folks, Brother Weston. Amen. That are starting to bud. And Sister London. Amen. Then before you know it, their life is going to start to blossom. And what they need is to be in a garden where the Spirit of God is moving. And the fragrance of roses is evident. And there they will find the care and the prayer that they need. And then it's like the old Sunday school song says, grow, grow, grow. I said, grow, grow, grow. Look over at your neighbor right now and say, grow. Grow, grow, grow. I tell you why I'm preaching like this. It's because I want Calvary Lighthouse Church to... Well, I am the most awesome blossom in the garden. Yeah, but can you bloom? I'm hung up on these points. I want to preach to you more about the rarest rose.
Amen. But Sister Mindy, there is something about people who find the progression of the walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't stay in the same spot of the garden, Sister Hallie, but we walk with Him a little further in prayer and a little further in fellowship and fasting, a little further in self-sacrifice, a little further knowing this Christ of Calvary in an intimate, personal way. Can I tell you tonight, that's what revival's all about. It's not just about the shout, and I'm not knocking it. I love to shout. It's not just about the good feeling. We leave and say, wow, what a service. Amen, what a message. But can I tell you what it really is about? It's Monday morning when you're driving, come on now, on your way to work, and you're headed to school, and you're going to the job, and you start walking with Him, and you start hearing His voice. Can I tell somebody tonight, why do we do that? It's for the love of a road. Sister Penny, I've got to quit. Look for the rose people. That's what it said. The world is looking for people who know about the Lord. Isaiah 35, can you find your brother in the south? Isaiah 35 and 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. World is a wilderness. Those who are searching are in a solitary place. Those who are distressed in the desert, the Bible said, shall rejoice. Blossom as a rose. Verse 2, Isaiah 35, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. That's strength. Cedars of Lebanon. The excellency of Carmel. That's where the power of God fell, wasn't it? On the mountain. We're talking about high places now. And what did He say? And Sharon. Lean over and tell somebody, and Sharon. Sharon. Not just the rose of this ministry. Not just the rose of that church. Not just the live stream outreach or program of that church or this church or their name or their pastor. But I want to tell somebody, it's still the rose of Sharon, the very highest peak. Why is that, Brother Robert? Because He deserves the very best. He's the very highest. Above, He'll be the lily in your valley. And they said, amen, Josephus said, the lily is the flower that speaks to man. Thank God for the lily in our valley. That's why they buy it at funerals, to comfort people when they're hurting and when things are dying. But can I tell you, God wants to take you up to the mountaintop and let you sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Oh, Calvary Lighthouse, hear me tonight. God's got something special for you. Amen. Beyond Lebanon and beyond Carmel, there is a Sharon, a place where God wants you to dwell. They shall see, Brother Jason, the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. This church is excelling, getting better at what it does. This is not the end. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost now. I almost feel as if I'm speaking over the church, and I hope this is okay, Pastor. Amen. But God's got something bigger for this church, and in camp meeting, it's going to be known. That's when you're going to start to see what God's going to do. This coming camp meeting is such an integral part, such a vital, important part of what God is going to do. Hey, I'm already excited. I'm going to go home and pack for camp meeting because I believe there's something that God's going to do that's excellent beyond what He's done before.
Yes.
Stand up on your feet. Verse 3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands. Are your hands weak? Is your praise weary? Calvary Lighthouse, I came to strengthen you. Brother Jason, can you run up here and help me? I picked up on Brother Lucas this morning. I picked on Pastor Pepper the other night. Brother Jason is not a weak man. How many knows that? Say amen. Not a weak man. Home builder, construction man. He said it earlier, man with a plan. Isn't that what he said? And sometimes his hands get weak, weary. Building houses? No. Swinging the sword.
I'm warring the good fight of faith. From prayer, Christian service. You know what I came to do? Lock hands with a young man that I love and appreciate. And inside the church, I'm not ashamed to stand in front of Facebook and the rest of the world and take my brother's hand and say, "You're my brother. I'll take you by the hand. I'm here to strengthen your hands when they are weak." Amen. Dear sister from the Methodist Church, would you come up here? I don't know your name. Would you come up here right now? Amen. Dear sister, stay right there, Brother Jason. Amen. This dear sister right here from the Methodist Church. Thank you, Sister Hallie. Amen. This dear sister right here. Amen. Sometimes in the church, the knees get kind of weak. Did you ever read in the Bible the text that I was showing you? He took it off the screen, but it's still there. Amen. It's still there. Put it back up, Brother Isaac. It says, amen, help those hands that are weak. But what does it say? Confirm. Somebody shout confirm. Confirm the feeble knees. I see you back there, Sister Henry. I see you, Brother Rick. Sometimes our prayer, not just our praise, but sometimes our prayer, those bended knees get a little weak. Why are you preaching and hollering and sweating? Because I'm here to help confirm some feeble knees. Thank you, your sister. Amen. And what you are seeing is representatives of your church, people from the oldest to the youngest that need revival. And I want you to know you can have it if you'll reach for the rose tonight. Strengthen the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. He will come with recompense. He will come and he will save you. I like that verse, Sister Sarah, because three times it says he will come. Amen. I've been preaching and hollering and sweating about a rose. Amen. But the last word is to simply tell you that he will come. I said he will come. He will come. Jesus. Reach for the rose. Response looks like on a Sunday night. I don't know if you can go back to the pastor and go home, but I wonder if you take it a step farther and say, "Andy walks with me." Step out of that pew and say, "Andy talks with me. Andy tells me that I am his own and the joy."